Good afternoon. This is John Richardson speaking with you from Toronto, Canada. Today is Saturday, January the 29th, 2022. And this is really a continuation of a discussion that I started with Joe Howard in December. And some of you may have heard the podcast I did with him, where, you know, basically, his view, and I think the view of many, if not all Americans abroad, is that they're, you know, pretty much disrespected in the political process, or maybe that's putting it too kindly. I guess to disrespect somebody, you have to even know they're there. They're just sort of non-existent. And this has, of course, created all kinds of problems for getting inappropriate laws changed. And I'm joined here together by a geographically diverse group. So I'm in Canada and Joe's in Thailand. And we have one person in Seattle and one in Texas who are, you know, very much politically engaged. So I think the best thing would be to kind of turn this over for everybody to introduce themselves. And we'll start with Joe.
Well, I'm Joe Howard. I am happy to be back on this podcast with John and some newcomers. I am an American living abroad in Thailand. I've been active in the fight against citizenship-based taxation, I believe around 2017, starting as a U.S. citizen living in the U.S. and then moving abroad already knowing the situation. This is a fight that I am really involved in. It is a part of my life, and it should be, because taxation from overseas does ruin a lot of our lives if you're an American abroad. So right now, I am a part of a group or organization that's trying to morph itself into a political party. And one of the issues that we are talking about involves taxation. And I am honored to be a part of it and be a part of the platform and help build the organization from the ground up. And knowing that I am just one of many people that's a part of it, it makes me feel like I'm not alone. So I'm hoping to bring Americans abroad together and give them something to that would help them. I know that they want to be a part of a political party, but right now all the political parties are pretty much against them. So giving them something new that they can count on and be a part of, I think would be very helpful. And I think they would feel like they're a part of something as well. And I yield the floor to whoever wants to speak next.
No, we got four people here, so it's like a relay. So maybe I'll pass the baton over to Helena.
Hi, I'm Athena Mason, People's Party of Texas. I got involved with exactly what Joe's talking about with the United People's Assembly, and I'm helping now some of like the best friends that I've ever met. We're working together, but now we actually are building community here in Texas and developing this like actual confederation of states that wants to do things differently and actually listen to the people, actually represent the people. That's why this particular issue is so incredibly appalling with regards to the residency versus citizenship based taxation. I can't even understand how something, I mean, there's so many un-American things that happen, but this seems like incredibly appalling to be so fundamentally against like what this country was created upon. And so it seems incredibly relevant to everything that we're doing. And I've really admired all the work. I've seen Joe hustling, and I'm really excited to be here and to talk with all of you.
Well, that's great. And why don't we change from a track analogy to baseball to introduce Mark. Mark, you're batting cleanup.
All right. Thanks, John. I'm Mark Mixon. I'm the state chair of the People's Party of Washington. And, you know, happy to be here talking about this. We, both Athena and I and the rest of the people involved in the United People's Assembly are really focused on trying to build a political party that gives voice to the people that are disenfranchised. And that includes Americans abroad, obviously. We're trying to reach out and find ways to give people a direct voice, because as anyone out there who's paid attention knows, real people don't seem to have a voice in our political system, right? It's been captured by moneyed interests. It's captured by the powerful. And the people are just along for the ride, where we're told what to do and we can live with it or take our lumps, I suppose. this issue in particular, you know, it's not just Americans abroad. I think we are all, you know, here in Washington, we have some of the most regressive taxation systems in the nation, where they tend to pretend Washington is a very liberal state, but really it is like a bastion for the rich. The reason we have more billionaires in this state than per capita than any state is because we don't even have income tax in the state. We are like a conservative bastion for the wealthy in this nation. So, you know, getting taxation that actually represents people, that treats people fairly, that taxes those that use the most as opposed to those of us who produce the most, I think is going to be a real important step as we try to take this nation back for the people. Because currently our taxation system is about imperialism, whether it's here or abroad. It's about making sure that our government takes from the people who produce. So that's sort of where I come from on this whole issue, I would say.
You know, that's a really interesting thing you say, Mark, at the end of taxes and the takes from the people. You know, I've engaged on Twitter from time to time, more so lately. But just yesterday, you know, there was this discussion going on about citizenship taxation with this idea that, well, you know, Americans abroad don't get services. Why should they pay tax? And I was thinking, oh, my God, the U.S. tax system has nothing to do with providing services at all. I mean, would you agree with that? I mean, it seems to me it just has to do with just take everything you can.
I would agree 100%. I think, in fact, in the Constitution, I believe taxation is supposed to either be apportioned or specifically for goods and services. And you can't find that like in, say, the federal income tax. There's not a single good or service that is paid for by federal income tax. I seem to think that goes to pay the interest and the debt to the private bankers that we've turned over the ability to print our money. They do not provide services for us. Taxation is not about providing services, certainly not on the federal level. It's about keeping people under the thumb of the government.
You know, I think that's right. I mean, I think that people maybe get services from time to time, but I mean, certainly that's not part of the deal. The deal is there's no deal. We're just going to take from you and that's it. There's no doubt about that. So, I mean, I would agree with you. I live in Canada, and I've been for many, many years heavily involved in sort of grassroots movement to promote independent candidates and small parties. So, you know, this stuff is, you know, what you're doing is very close to my heart. But, you know, the reason that I started this was for the same reason that you're talking about, you know, that the average person on the street has basically no representation at all. And I think the first question I would ask you, I mean, I think I know the answer. Do you think that just because somebody has the right to vote that, you know, they're living in a democracy?
I certainly don't want to take up all the time, all the airspace, but I certainly don't think so. I think, you know, at this point, voting is the people who actually control this country, they all provide the choices. You know, it's a choice between, hey, do you want to get punched in the face? Would you rather be kicked in the face? It's not like we have any actual say. We don't have any input into the choices, right? It's all a game to keep us distracted.
And busy enough so you don't have time to mount any effective opposition, I think, as well. I'm just thinking, you know, I mean, you know, the amount of time you spend filling out forms and things like that, you know, where, I mean, maybe the whole reason for forms is to keep people busy so they don't have time to do anything productive. I don't know. You know, it's certainly a big problem. What do you think, Athena? I mean, you know, I think you're probably committed to the view that, you know, the right to vote does not make a democracy and certainly does not ensure any contribution to the democratic process, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that the vote is wonderful and important, but if you don't have any means for accountability to enforce that vote, it doesn't really mean anything. And then if the vote is purely symbolic and all of the actual decisions are being made by external sources that have nothing to do with your interests, then yeah, the vote is just, that's why I really empathize with people that do not vote or apathetic about voting, because it is actively like that. Your vote doesn't matter, but they wouldn't fight so hard to make you feel like that if it really didn't matter. But it doesn't, it's hard to actually apply the vote other than just like, oh, this is my voice.
Yeah, you know, it's gotten a lot worse in a completely party-dominated world. So, you know, you've got two parties, you know, essentially two-party state, one party removed from a one-party state, I guess. You know, in Canada, there are more parties, and many, you know, first world democracies, there are more parties, et cetera. Just a minute, what's going on here? Okay. But in Canada, sometime in the last 30 years, it used to be that the names of the candidates, you know, like Athena, Mark, Joe, John, would actually appear, you know, would appear on the ballot without the names of the parties beside them, right? So, you know, you were actually voting for an actual person. Now, basically, the names of the parties go beside the candidates, right? Which, you know, makes people even lazier, so that, you know, they get into this habitual thinking that in Canada, I'm a liberal, or I'm a, you know, in the United States, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, you know, this sort of stuff, which, you know, means they don't even have to look at the candidate anymore. I mean, do you think that a first step in bringing back democracy might be to get the names of the, you know, try to separate the candidates from the parties?
Yeah, I agree. Definitely 100%. And I believe this is also an issue that Jesse Ventura has been bringing up a couple of times, because he's talked about it. He's all for getting rid of the parties on the ballot and just putting the name of the individuals.
Yeah, one thing that I think would is explicitly meant to like reinforce that is the straight ticket voting, and any of the states that have that, you don't even vote for the unopposed. Like if you do straight ticket voting, it's just like, oh, I'm a Democrat. Don't even have to look at any of the ballot. Just check them, and then that's it.
That's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, like how can? And then that's the way they advertise it now. The Democrats don't have to. No platform, no policy, no follow through. Vote blue, straight ticket.
Done. So yeah, vote blue, and don't worry, we don't stand for anything.
Yeah, just do it. Or you're a Nazi. That's it.
Well, you know, this is real. This is huge, and it doesn't seem to me that whether in the U.S. or Canada or Australia or. You know, I have the impression the UK actually has a more vibrant, louder democracy going on. Maybe I'm wrong, okay, but, or maybe I just read the right or the wrong newspapers, but, you know, that's my impression. So what we've got very, very clearly is a political system where, you know, little people and even big people without money, you know, really have no say in anything that goes on at all, right? And no say kind of implies that, you know, they can't be listened to at all, right? And you know, listening is probably the, you know, the greatest, most important aspect of communication there is, right? Wouldn't you think? So nobody to vote for, but nobody even to listen to, right? Because they won't listen to you. So exactly. I gather.
Yeah, you know, like a lot of us Americans abroad, we've sent letters to our representatives, senators, and others. In 2017, I sent a letter to every U.S. representative every senator, the president, vice president, secretary of treasury, head of the IRS. And I had hundreds of letters, and I traveled through two states just mailing those letters, and never received anything back from
nothing anyone. At all.
Nothing. Not Bernie Sanders, not even Rand Paul, not president, nobody.
That's disgusting. I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm simultaneously not surprised, but revolted and disgusted at the same time. I mean, it seems like how can those feelings be incompatible or rather compatible? But yeah.
I don't understand how Republicans aren't all over this, because it's like seems like a right in their wheelhouse as far as like unfair taxation and government overreach and the amount of power that the U.S. government has to go into other countries' citizens' bank accounts to make sure that they're not citizens or whatever. And I know that there's not really that much outreach to Americans abroad from Republicans, and this just seems like a huge like loss. Why aren't they, you know, all on this? This is, like I said, so un-American.
Without representation. That's very interesting. I will say this about the Republicans, and because there aren't a lot of them comparatively abroad relative to the Democrats, for some reason people don't know this, but in 2014, Republicans overseas did launch an anti-FATCA lawsuit against Treasury. They did do that. It never went anywhere because of the standing issues. I mean, anybody who understands the rules of federal jurisdiction will understand that the purpose of them is to keep people from suing the government, okay? But they never went anywhere. In 2016, they did adopt, as part of their party platform, and abolition of FATCA and residency-based taxation. In 2018, and I know this because I live this with them, you know, they were, you know, very influential in getting the holding bill out, which was at least a first step. So it is interesting that, I mean, if you look at it comparatively, the Republicans have done much more for Americans abroad than the Democrats, much more. But somehow or other, Americans abroad seem to don't know this or deny it or who knows what. I mean, I'm baffled by it.
Yeah, I remember when the Republicans were fighting for us. Even Rand Paul, he was a big part of the FATCA lawsuit. I mean, he went even in front of the Supreme Court, but then lost. And since then, he just hasn't done anything about FATCA, hasn't said anything. But yeah, as for like Republicans overseas, that organization, they were fighting tooth and nail against FATCA and CBT. But then after the Supreme Court just threw it out, Solomon, you, the...
I think is still the head of Republicans Overseas, but he certainly was at the time, yeah.
Yeah, he shifted his focus onto China, and there hasn't been much said from the organization as of late, but you know, they've been somewhat talking about citizenship based taxation, just not as much as they used to.
Well, you know, that is true. It's also true that recently, you know, there, I mean, because I've done some, you know, podcasts with them, and that you know, there's a clear interest in trying to move the country to residence-based taxation, and, you know, what I would call pure residency-based taxation, meaning that under no circumstances can citizenship be used as a way to impose tax residency on people. So, you know, there's that as well. But the thing is this, that although every little bit helps, we are still a long, long way from what's needed. And that's why, you know, what you are doing, I think, is very important, because your whole gig, if I can put it this way, is to find a way for individual voices to be heard in the political process, right?
I'd say that's exactly right. We, in Washington, we've been trying to devise a deliberative democracy system that balances geographic representation with interest representation. And that's something that is transferred over to the UPA as well. The United People's Assembly is a collection of bodies of interests, and every body of interest. Joe heads our American Expats Caucus, I believe that it's called, Joe. So they, as that group, will send a representative on our governing council. We want to have direct representation of people by their interests as well as where they live. Like if you are an American abroad, that may be your primary focus in our government, is to have representation for your status. If you're a Black American, that may be your primary interest. That may have more precedence for you than, say, being a Georgian. If you are a disabled American, that might be the thing that impacts your life the very most. And those things ought to have representation. The thing that impacts your life the most is the thing that you ought to be able to have represented in our government. And currently there's not. You know, they talk about the Republicans abroad. I know I've talked to Democrats abroad. There is a huge amount. I'm prior to my political organizing life, I'm an entertainment professional and a stagehand and a theater technician. And I recognized when I began doing political organizing how much theater there is here. In politics, right, they will take on fights that they either know they can win or they know are safe to take on because there's no way they will win. if you know going into it, well, the bosses aren't going to let us do this, then it's safe to go ahead and yell and shout and fight for the people because you already know beforehand. You know how the play ends. You don't have to. It's all a game. It's all a game to protect their money, which is our money, and their interests, which are not our interests.
Yeah. You know, you make a really interesting observation there about the, you know, the number of, you know, I think what you're really doing is saying that, well, people's interests are sort of a function of who they are, how they experience the legislative process. And, you know, so you identify all these different people. And I was very interested, you know, I mean, I'm an independent, which probably means I dislike all political parties. That said, you know, I was very interested in President Biden's announcement a day or two ago that it was his express intention to appoint the first Black woman to the Supreme Court of the United States. And I think that's good. That's good in the sense that it's a clear recognition that, you know, this is a group that clearly has not had any, you know, political representation. I mean, I assume you would agree with that. You know, so that's interesting. And that long run, I think, is really a recognition of what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. No, go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. You first, Mark.
I would agree. Like, that it is clear, blatantly clear, I think, to anyone who really thinks about it, that people's actual interests aren't represented in this system. And that's why, and that's also used as part of the cry to keep us divided as well, though, right? Anytime interest representation is challenging the system, it becomes identity politics, as if protecting your wealth is not also identity politics.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. For example, for Democrats abroad, they are now saying that they're for residency-based taxation and they want to fight for us and that they have a plan. So they are jumping on the bandwagon, trying to help us. And what I am seeing, though, is they are taking our issues and using it to just get the vote. And recently on Twitter, I've had some heated discussions and
on Twitter, a heated discussion.
Sure. Yeah, and some really bad comments from Americans abroad because of what I said about them just using us to get the vote. And I've also been saving their posts that prove that they are just wanting the vote. So when recently I put something up about pure residency-based taxation, and one of the members of the Democrats abroad said that it's not a reality, pure residency-based taxation.
Notwithstanding that every other country in the world has it.
Yeah.
It can't be done.
It's funny hearing that come from them when they say that they are fighting for residency-based taxation. So really what they're fighting for are the votes. They just want the votes, and they will make false promises just to get that vote. And they're good at that. That's what they do best, make false promises to get the votes. And so issues like, say, with African-Americans, taxes, disabilities, all of those, the politicians see those issues and they jump on and act like they care just to get the votes. So when President Biden said that he was going to choose a Black woman to be on the Supreme Court, that did sound interesting. And I kind of hope he does see that through and that does happen. That would be a big move there, and it would be a good thing. But what I'm afraid of is that's going to create a false belief that the Democrats are really fighting for us, when in reality, they just want our vote.
Well, I mean, I think we can probably start from the premise that all political parties want your vote and all candidates want your vote. So maybe the issue here is, aren't we going to make them earn the vote? I mean, why should they get the vote, just for free like this? Why should they be able to get a vote if they're not willing to listen to you? Why should Americans abroad imagine that they're, that somehow they have some democratic rights when there's nobody for them to even vote for, or, any of the large number of groups? I know what brings us together is the Americans abroad issue, right? But I mean, really, that's a specific instance of any of a number of groups that are horribly disenfranchised, because all laws in some way or another, come with certain cultural assumptions, particularly tax laws, right? That discriminate hugely against certain groups of people. But the key is that the common denominator here is that can only have a democracy and participate in the democratic process if A, there's somebody who listens to you, and B, you're able to engage in a process to get candidates who do in fact represent your interests. I mean, it's very interesting. Go back to the President Biden thing. I mean, I actually, I think that was an act of extreme political courage for him to have said that. Now, would he have said that 20 years ago, if he were president? I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just sort of the last dance, say what you really think. But that was interesting, I thought. Yeah.
I think it's interesting, but I will be curious to see who he actually nominates. Because, again, there's assumptions that come with some of these statements. And so saying that I'm going to nominate, that it's my intention to seat a Black woman on the Supreme Court, comes with an implication to Democrats that what we're going to find is someone that is going to represent liberal interests on the court. But I would note that, like, Condoleezza Rice is a Black woman that he could seat on the Supreme Court, who might get through with Republican backing and would not, in fact, live up to what the idea behind a Black woman on the Supreme Court means for most Democrats.
Yeah, well, the idea being that a Black woman on the Supreme Court who would be representative of the reality of, certainly living as many perhaps Black women in the United States. So, you know, so if you get, you make a good point. So, you know, I was reading the New York Times yesterday, and there were, I think, two or three, you know, possible candidates mentioned, and at least one or two of them were Ivy League law school graduates. You know, I mean, that doesn't sound to me too much like somebody, you know, who's in that camp. Would you agree?
I mean, I would agree. I, you know, you mentioned something about with politics, you need people who will listen. And I think we've identified that the people in power don't listen. You need people that will actually represent your interests. It's embarrassing almost as someone who's the elected chair of a minor political party in my state, that in 2020, what my ballot looked like was I wrote in, none represent me for every race. I will vote in municipal elections, because I believe I can actually get people here in my town to listen to me.
And
I
believe municipal elections where you live, are they party based or the individual candidates?
In Washington, we have a jungle primary system. And so it's really individual candidates. We do list parties, but it's whatever the candidate prefers. And it doesn't even have to be a party that exists. If a candidate wanted to run in Washington and say they prefer the Kermit the Frog party, that's what the state will put on the ballot. Is John Richardson prefers Kermit the Frog party. So yes, it happens, but at the same time, it means very little here. And you often then have in the west side of the state, the general election is between two Democrats, and on the east side of the state, the general election is between two Republicans.
So, you know, there's a very famous footnote in Supreme Court jurisprudence, something from this case called Carolyn Products. I don't even remember what the case was about. All I remember is the footnote. Justice Stone's famous Carolyn Products footnote, where he says something to the effect of there are certain groups where heightened judicial solicitude is appropriate, right? You know, certain groups that are not heard, et cetera. And my God, I mean, the way things are going now, I mean, that could be in almost anybody at all. The Americans abroad thing is particularly problematic, though, because they don't even have any, you know, they didn't even have anybody who pretends to represent them as a group, right? What do you think, Joe? Do you think that they ought to have their own representatives?
Yeah, they should. And in fact, I believe we talked about that a couple months ago when you and Laura Snyder were on a Zoom meeting with me and some members of the People's Party. Laura brought up
I do remember that
about representation for French citizens living abroad. I believe it was French citizens, and that was something I thought about before, but not too much. But when she brought that up, it got me thinking more about Americans abroad and them having an actual representative in office that lives abroad, that represents like that certain region for Americans abroad. And I think that would be something nice, because then they can participate in Congress while living abroad for Americans abroad.
Well, you know, the first step is for them to know that there are American citizens living outside the United States. Why don't you make an independent run for president so that people learn that?
I'm not really the presidential type of person.
But somebody's got to do it. I mean, I agree it's dirty work. Somebody's got to do it, Joe. I mean, why not?
But even if I wanted to, I'm living abroad. You know, I would have to live in the U.S., I believe. So that wouldn't work. And I don't intend to move back to the U.S., kind of like where I am.
All the more reason to be president. All countries should have a head of state that doesn't live in the country, don't you think?
Well, they would probably understand the world better than for a politician living abroad, they would understand the world better. And I'm not talking about like a diplomat or anything like that. I'm talking about like a senator or a representative, because they are the ones that's there in Congress, establishing laws, arguing for people. So they should have representatives living abroad, because then they will be able to understand the world better through the stories given to them by that representative about Americans abroad, about war, about poverty, and all of that coming from overseas.
I think that's a fascinating idea, to have representatives specifically for Americans abroad in Congress, in the Senate. Because, like, Joe, if I remember, you came from Ohio before you moved to the Philippines. Do you still vote in Ohio?
Well, I live in Thailand. I still vote in Ohio.
I would imagine that the politics in Ohio does not actually impact your life a whole heck of a lot.
No, not really. Not at all. In fact, Ohio is one of those states that doesn't even go after Americans abroad. I know there are about, I believe, two or three states that will not just go after Americans abroad who left that state to go live overseas, but they will go after Americans who leave that state for another state. I believe one of those states is California. Another one could
we'll go be after there. People who leave the state.
Yeah.
They'll hunt them down. Hunt them down.
Yeah.
All the Californians are in Texas.
Even where they are.
No, it's a really, it's a fascinating, and I, you know, finding ways, and we're going to have to think outside the box, because our system has been built to protect capital, protect the moneyed interests that run it, and continue to drain from the rest of us who are producing. And I hate to start using like those buzzwords, and then I'm not even going down that path really, but we need to think outside the box, because minor tweaks to a system that's built to disenfranchise huge swaths of people will never really correct the situation. It might help some people here, help other people there, but a full rethinking of a lot of the system. Someone proposed to me several years ago that perhaps Congress ought to be not only a single term, term limits, but rather not an elected position, rather something drawn by lot among registered voters like jury duty. And that you, as an American citizen, you may just be called to serve your 2 years in Congress. And then and now there's a system that would represent, and perhaps if you're an American abroad, you would then be called up to sit in Congress, and you can actually represent the interests of Americans abroad. Not to mention,
it couldn't be worse than the existing system, could it?
No.
Exactly.
Think of it. Not a bad idea.
Make random it like, is like better than what we have.
Congress duty.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
Congress duty. You know, like I said before, I'm not the presidential type of person, but if I were to be called up to represent Americans abroad as an American abroad in Congress, I'd go for it, because I want to be in a position where I could help people. And I think that would be something good. And I know there are a lot of other Americans abroad who would step up to that plate if they are given that opportunity.
Oh, well, you know, sort of bringing this, in the direction of, the work that you're doing and, you know, what you have to offer to Americans abroad. I mean, essentially what I'm hearing is a platform in the making so that disenfranchised individuals, including Americans abroad, have an opportunity to be heard, right? And, in this case, we have a specific recognition of that with an Americans Abroad caucus that Joe is heading. Have I got that right?
That is correct. Yes.
Yes.
So what do you need, Joe? I mean, you can't do everything alone. So I gather you need some help. So,
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to keep my sanity intact. I feel like fighting this the way I've been fighting it has really pushed me to the edge, because I'm not really getting much help. I mean, Yeah, I'm getting help from you. The UPA seat's been helpful, but I need just the normal American abroad who no one knows to step up to the plate and support our fight for residency-based taxation for Americans abroad. They need to speak out more. They need to join in protests. A few years ago, someone, I believe it was on Facebook, mentioned protesting U.S. embassy at doing protests at U.S. embassies and consulates. And I thought that was something good that we could do, it and it would help us get notice and get things moving. But a lot of Americans abroad thought that was crazy, and they were kind of afraid to do that because they thought,
why would they be afraid to do that?
Because the U.S. government would track them down and tax them even harder.
Well, I don't think so. The problem is not that the U.S. government hates Americans abroad. The problem is they don't know they exist. Right? I mean, haven't you ever heard the phrase indifference is the worst form of abuse?
I've heard that, yeah.
Well, isn't this a good example of it?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, it
is. Or all the other, people who are treated with indifference in the United States. I mean, it's a rather appalling history, you know, if anybody took the time to actually explore it a little bit. But Joe, I mean, you know, you're talking about protests. I mean, why don't we tone it down a little bit? Why don't we start with getting you some company?
Yeah, I do.
Some people, you know, joining up to say, Joe, this is fantastic. Shaking your hand. Can I sit and talk with you and be with you a little bit? Why don't we start with that?
Yeah, that would be great. And, you know, I'm always open to speaking with other Americans abroad. I try my best to stay up late at night, even on work nights.
What time is it in Thailand right now?
Right now it's 12:50 in the morning.
This is extreme commitment to this. So you're up in, you know, the wee hours of the morning, you know, to do this. Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, okay. So what I think I'm hearing you saying is that, hey, you know what? The time has come for individual Americans abroad to step up to the plate. And this is a platform, an opportunity for them to step up to the plate. You know, so they can be heard. I mean, you know, people always underestimate what they can do in 1 year and underestimate what they could do in 10. And, you know, if they don't get started with this, then, you know, hey, nothing's going to happen. So, I mean, it would seem to me that a reasonable starting point would be to email Joe.
Absolutely. Yes? You know, John, I think you've got it exactly right. The very first step is people need to start coming together. I mean, protest is fine. Activists love it. They love to be out there and wave signs. But protest by itself never changes anything. Organizing is always the answer, right? That's why they want us distracted. That's why they want us divided. And that's why they want us busy, is so that we cannot organize together. They've got the money. They've got the power, but if we can bring people together, we can organize and help start countering that. But we can't do it alone, right? We need people to, if you're an American abroad and you want changes, you want fair taxation, I think we can globalize it instead of just saying residency-based taxation, because taxation is regressive across the nation, is applied unequally. Period. Taxation is applied unequally. And so if you are an American abroad who wants fair taxation, and in your case, it would be not being taxed based on your citizenship when you do not live, it'd be residency based, right?
Well put.
We need to come together. You need to talk, meet, start crafting policy, start crafting legislation, start networking, start building the connections with each other and building community, right? Organizing is always the answer. I'm a union guy. I believe very strongly. organizing is always the answer.
No, I think you're 1,000% right. Or the way I once put it in a public discussion was, democracy is just not a spectator sport. Okay. So,
amen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, all of you, you're setting a fantastic example here. I mean, you're saying, here I am, right? Here's the beginning. You know, here's some stickiness. You know, we can come together and stay stuck together, whether we have protests or not. Much more important to always exist than to have a big bang for a day that's all over, right?
Amen.
I was going to say, on that note, just to ensure that anybody that's interested hears about it, we have ourvoices.party if you want to sign up, and we'll get your email. We'll send you an invite to the expat caucus on the Gilded, and peoplespartyoftexas.org. We also have the same contact form if you're just interested in Texas issues. But either way, we will get you connected if you're interested. So,
yeah, this is great stuff. As I say, I mean, you know, for years, this type of stuff's been part of my DNA. And, you know, I just so enjoy, you know, the opportunity to, you know, connect with people who are, you know, like-minded in this regard.
You know, having some help would be great for me too, because I can't tackle this whole thing myself. And if I have more people on board, more Americans abroad on board who are willing to work as hard as me, then
Joe, be careful. Okay. You're up in the middle of the night. They're not going to, let me put it another way. If reaching out to Americans abroad, we could find 10 people who would do 10% of what Joe is doing, it would be just a fantastic push forward.
Okay, I can be the crazy one. they can be the ones, you know, doing what they can. But if I can have more on board helping me out, that would be great. For the American Expat Caucus, I have in the UPA, it's not yet an official caucus until I have some more individuals on board who are Americans abroad.
Well, they've got to step up. To put it another way, okay, basically, if you are not supporting Joe's caucus here, I mean, how can you be serious about getting change? I mean,
yeah.
It's unbelievable to me that people would support, you know, these somewhat less than ethical established political parties and not support, you know, individuals with strong moral principles who are actually trying to do something about change. It makes no sense to me.
Well, I think an important point you made about, you know, 10 people doing 10%, like we are, every one of us are stretched thin, and Joe, you don't want to chase people off, right? Say, work as hard as I do. You know, when you're volunteering to make change, we all have an ebb and flow of capacity, and anything that can be done helps, right? If you've only got 10 minutes a week, there is something you can do that will, that's 10 more minutes than was put toward the effort before. And if it's and John, you're right. Democracy is not a spectator sport. It is you do not have representation if you refuse to participate. That's just the bottom line. If you refuse to participate, you give up your franchise. And so, if you have anything to give, if it's an issue you care about, reach out. Give what you can, even if it's just a few minutes. It will be appreciated.
I think that's absolutely right, and very important. Yeah, so you know what? This has been a really, really great discussion. If I could just add something from my point of view here for a second. You know, we've talked about the taxation issue for Americans abroad, but, you know, I actually see the taxation issue as part of a broader problem in the United States tax system, where it seems to me there's multiple tax systems. I mean, there's clearly a tax system for those Joes who work. I don't mean you, sorry, I didn't mean you. I mean, Joe the plumbers who work, okay? You know, there's the tax system for people who live off investments. Warren Buffett's famous, you know, I pay more, in, my secretary pays more in taxes than I do. You know, there's Dorothy Brown, a law professor at Emory University in Atlanta, wrote an interesting book this year talking about how the existing tax code discriminates against Black families, which I suspect is probably true because they're always based on cultural assumptions. You know, we have the way Americans abroad are taxed, and we have the way the super wealthy billionaires are taxed. And you know what? All you have to do to look to the insanity of it is, you know, the billionaire, say a Jeff Bezos, apparently pays very little income tax, while at the same time, an American citizen who earned a pension from working outside the United States is having that pension confiscated through the U.S. tax system. I mean, my God, if that isn't all you need, you know, to show that, you know, reform is necessary, I don't know what else there could be, right? So I would suggest, the reason I mention that is that, you know, I think it's great to have the Americans Abroad Caucus, but I would strongly suggest you get a general caucus on taxation in general.
Because that's something I've been thinking about. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago with some members of the UPA that maybe I should focus on just taxation for both homeland Americans and Americans abroad.
Well, certainly the Americans abroad is a particularly specific, egregious, you know, example of how bad this is. But it's not just Americans abroad. Okay. You know, talk to people like Professor Francine Lippman and others, or Stephen Dean. You know, these are high-powered academics who spent a lot of time, you know, identifying these kinds of problems. You know, this is great, but just because of time, we probably should bring this one to a close, but I'd love to do more of these with you. But in closing, I think it's important for people to know how to get a hold of everybody on this call in general, and, you know, and how to keep Joe company if you're an American abroad. I mean, he's alone in Thailand right now. What's that movie, Sleepless in Thailand? We have Sleepless in Thailand, okay? So, you know, we got to have him reach out here. So, Joe, what are these people going to do to keep you company here? How do they get
touch? They can contact me through my email. That's american.expat.rbt@gmail.com. I can also be found on Twitter. Don't remember my information. I'm not a big Twitter fan. You can find me at just Joe12345678.
That's pretty good. But this is not just Joe, okay? This is a Joe who's, you know, making a tremendous effort, being very generous with his time for a specific group of people. But, you know, this is way beyond the Americans Abroad issue, and I love what you're doing. Mark and Athena, how would people get a hold of you to, you know, if they agree with the general philosophy of what you're doing? Because, I mean, you know, a rising tide, all ships go up or something like that. I mean, you know, this is a big issue, right, generally?
Yeah, I would say the easiest way to get a hold of really any of us in our group would be what Athena mentioned. There, ourvoices.party is a website. It's not even a website, it's just a form. It's a form that you can enter your name, your interest, your email address, and we will reach out and contact you. People can certainly reach me personally if you're interested in Washington, mark.mixon@peoplespartywa.org. But I think the ourvoices.party is probably going to be the easiest way if you want to reach out and have your voice heard on almost any issue. We are looking for people who feel unrepresented and who want to have a say in our system. And if you're an American abroad, we'll put you in contact with Joe. And if you are a Black American, we'll put you in contact with our Black Voices Collective. If you're a disabled American, we'll put you in contact with our Disability Caucus. We are bodies growing, and we want to hear you.
Fantastic. And Athena?
Yeah, so definitely the ourvoices.party is the best for just general sign up and let us know the issues that are important to you. Me personally, Athena Mason at peoplespartyoftexas.org. And our website is peoplespartyoftexas.org. So thank you so much. This has been
that's fantastic stuff. And, you know, it's funny listening to your closing on that. You know, you're talking about the people who aren't represented. It occurred to me, what's the population of the United States? Is it 330 million?
Yeah, about 330 million.
So what I was thinking when you were saying that is, my God, I mean, there's about 330 million people who ought to be getting in touch with you, right? Yeah.
One would hope.
Amazing stuff. All right. So this has been great. Thanks very much. And what I'll actually do is I'll send you the link to this. And, you know, you might find this, you might find this a good discussion to use for your purposes generally.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Great talking with y'all.
All right. So here we go. I'm always challenged with these buttons. So let me...